Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Your attention, please. Your attention, please.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
I have something to tell you.
Nelson and Tasman. Welcome everyone. It's my pleasure to introduce our next guest to our show Evolving Health, Ange Palmer. Medical herbalist, yoga instructor, motivator, mother, grandmother, partner, mother to dog, the list goes on. Ange is passionate about helping people build empowered lives, and as co-founder of Wellness Movement, she works towards benefiting individuals through wholesome health options. Welcome, Ange.
Not quite, Sam.
Lovely to have you here. Thank you. Ange and I have known each other for maybe 12 or 13 years now. We've walked similar paths with complementary medicine. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Ange, your own experience that inspired and motivated you to become a herbalist and a yoga instructor.
Goes back a long way. So I started probably when I was 11 or 12 and I was a St John's ambulance cadet. I was brought up in Havelock North, and one day we went for a little field trip to Willeda, to where the gardens, they grow medicinal herbs in their gardens for the Willeda products. And I remember walking into this garden of Melissa or lemon balm, and the lemon balm was actually higher than me at the time, and I just was overcome by the presence of that plant. And I think that's probably where I first had this realization that plants have personality. Kind of years then of conservation work, environment work, time in the mountains, wild places. Eventually had my daughter at 25. And then it was not long after that I founded Moontime, which is a small business which makes washable menstrual cloths. And it was as a result of that women started contacting me and telling me that when they use menstrual cloths as opposed to disposable pads or tampons, their cycles started to change. They were having less pain. They were having less heavy cycles. They were feeling better about themselves. And so that kind of started me on this whole path of feeling how fundamentally important it is that women have a positive sense of themselves and their cycles, that they understand that really as women our wellness is completely, you know, dependent on our cycles being well. So yeah, that then sort of led naturally into herbal medicine and a special interest in women's reproductive health and fertility.
Fantastic. And then you studied down in Christchurch, and then you came back to Nelson. So you moved down to Nelson from Havelock North from...
Yes, there were chapters in there. Yes. Spent a bit of time in Asia, did my last year of high school in Surabaya in Indonesia. So yeah, kind of travelled around and done some interesting things along the way. But yeah, have pretty much been based sort of in Nelson for the majority of the last 30 years. However, there was a stint in the middle of that where I went off to do some work as a filmmaker, which was sort of an unexpected tangent. And I co-produced a feature documentary about climate justice. So I've got a very strong interest in climate change, climate justice, and how that impacts on us. But essentially, it was during that time that I was so challenged on a deep soul level, I guess, by what's happening on the planet, that my yoga practice went deeper and deeper. And then I opted to do a 3-year intensive compassionate practitioner training program, which has sort of led me to now be able to share that as a, you know, as another.
Gosh, you're amazing. What an inspiration, because I've watched your documentary, 2 Degrees, isn't
it? 2 Degrees, yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, listeners, I would highly encourage watching that. Ange was well before her time, so now that science has confirmed that indeed climate change is a problem, everybody's going with it, but Ange was well on board with that a number of years ago. And it'd be interesting to look at what climate change, we know that it's having an impact on animals' fertility, what it's actually, if there's any studies out there, and what it's actually doing to women's and men's fertility as well, because it's changing our whole food chain. It's about to have a drastic effect if drastic measures aren't taken to change it. So we've got Wellness Movement on board to help with all the stress of what's happening in the world. Yoga teaching in terms of mindfulness, tell us more about that, because mindfulness is almost like the buzzword, but it's been going on for hundreds of years and thousands of years.
That's right. And I guess when it comes to yoga, you know, it's a big topic and there are sort of many definitions of yoga. I guess one way of looking at yoga is that it's a listening practice. It's listening to yourself. And so there are sort of two things that can happen, or there are many things that can happen, obviously, from practicing yoga. But one is that we have this ability to come into ourselves every day and just watch and assess for ourselves where we're at on that given day. So every time you come to the mat, it's a different practice. So even though I might, and typically I do, because I'm an Ashtanga yoga practitioner, I do the same physical practice every day, I'm a different person. So how am I going physically that day? How am I going emotionally? What is it that I'm carrying? What is it that I'm feeling? And what's the state of my mind? And so it's a way of looking with interest at yourself, being curious and accepting where you're at on any given day.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the thing. We get that sense of insight to ourselves. And then the second thing is that absolutely yoga tones our nervous system. So it helps us to kind of bring our whole energy down to be stable and calm. And then that in turn ties into our whole physiology and metabolism.
Fantastic. That's explained beautifully. I think that's the best I've heard yoga explained. And so when you look at mindfulness and looking at that insight to yourself in terms of theme of preconception at the moment that I'm running, where does that fit with preconception and natural fertility management? Why would you want to do yoga if you want to conceive a child?
Let's have a think about the sorts of things that affect fertility. So they would be, and on the top of my list, I've actually got stress,
yes,
diet, nutrition, urinary infection in the genital tract, autoimmune issues, drugs that you might be on, medical or recreational, pollution. So there's all these sorts of things. And if we are less stressed, we're more likely to, for instance, have a better diet, sleep better, be having sort of more positive experiences. Certainly our gut's likely to be more functional. I think an interesting thing to remember about stress is that stress isn't always, I'm stressed, I'm having a meltdown. Stress can be much more subtle and insidious than that.
Mm.
For instance, it might be that we have old trauma or emotional stuff that we're holding deep inside of us that keeps coming up. It might be that we're living in a very cold or damp house. It might be that there's an underlying sort of tension within a relationship in our lives. You know, as often we're seeing at the moment, we are certainly overloaded and busy. And I have to say, I've taken the word busy out of my vocab. I took it out a few years ago. I use the term rich and full.
Oh.
So my life is rich and full.
Yeah.
And I try and keep that balance through a yoga practice.
Great. And I think it's wonderful to talk about how insidious stress actually is, because we have a lot of expectation on us. And I'm just going to highlight on women at the moment, because women are trying to be everything to all people all of the time. And often women are trying to juggle their profession, the young child, run the family home, be the partner, and have very, very little time for themselves. So stress becomes a normal state of being, until one day they'll wake up and go, I can't do this anymore. And in actual fact, they've been stressed for a number of years or a number of months or weeks. So for that type of personality, we can call it a type A for boxing terms, they find it difficult to relax. How would you encourage a type A personality to get on board with yoga? Just do it.
Yes, but again, there's a sort of a whole spectrum of yoga. And so there's yoga that can be reasonably dynamic and invigorating, and some people that's appropriate for and at certain times of our lives. But also there are more relaxing practices that might be called something like yin yoga or restorative yoga. And at Wellness Movement, there are a number of classes that are offered.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily about tying yourself in knots. It might be simply about being able to lie in a very comfortable, supported position on a mat or on some bolsters and allow opening and stretching to come from the body simply through relaxing.
Yeah, great. And so when you have that high stress woman who wants to conceive and having difficulty, yoga would be definitely something to encourage in your clinic.
Absolutely. We also offer things like Feldenkrais and Tai Chi. So yoga is not necessarily for everybody, but yes. I think because there's such a range of yoga, I think the important thing is that you feel free to have a bit of a dabble.
Mm-hmm.
Find a teacher that you connect with and mm-hmm. find a venue that feels good for you to be in. You know, it's got to kind of work with your life.
Yes, yes. Because more and more fertility issues are coming to the fore in our Western world, indeed all over the world. But we do live in this mindset of instant gratification and happiness, and for those women going through IVF cycles who sometimes have to go through three or four cycles to have a live birth, it's not just about, you know, injecting the drugs for stimulating your follicles or for the hormones. It is around preconception care. Your chances of having a live birth are far greater if you look at using a herbalist and a naturopath in conjunction with IVF, because we look at the nutritional profile of the woman, the stress profile. Tell me more about this, that how you work with this in your clinics and your thoughts on this.
What we know is that sort of 80 to 90% of women experience PMS, 60% have cramps. One in four of us in New Zealand have been sexually abused. So there are all these kind of layers that we bring. IVF is simply a transport mechanism. That's all it is. And what I find, not only in relation to conception, but indeed to all of my patients generally, is that when you come at the body from a number of different angles at the same time, in other words, we get the right nutrition that might include some supplements. We get some herbs in there to give the body a little bit of a nudge. You get the right exercise. You're getting enough sleep. You look at your emotional stuff. When all of these things happen at the same time, it's almost like the body goes, ah, now I've got what I need to move to another level of well-being. Mm-hmm. But if one of those things is missing, you know, you can take all the supplements in the world, you know, but if you're feeling stressed or you're not getting any exercise to stimulate circulation in your lymphatic system, those factors just aren't almost going to come together. That's my experience. And I have to say, one of the things that herbal medicine does best, I'm sure you've talked about this before on your show, is balance hormones. It's something that orthodox medicine doesn't really have solutions for, and herbal medicine, we've got some lovely approaches.
I think you touch on that quite nicely, is that it's a like a 1 litre jug or a mosaic, if you like, not one size fits all. And the beauty about herbal medicine is that you can tailor every prescription to that individual. And the longer you've been doing herbal medicine, the more intuitive you become with the herbs, with the individual. It's a real skill and an art to prescribe these herbs. And a fellow colleague of ours, Kerry Bone, who's quite renowned globally for his research into herbal medicine, talks a lot about the mosaic concept of disease. So it's about the financial stress, it's about the relationship stress, it's about the insomniac stress, it's about the nutritional deficits and the calorie excess. It's about everything, isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely a big picture. And one of the things, I guess, that's very obvious to all of us who are practitioners is that so many people these days are going online to address their health issues.
Yes.
And I sometimes say to people, you know, I really think that your money can be better well spent to sit down with a practitioner who's experienced and knows what they're doing. I mean, I've also spent many years working in health food shops, and people come in and they pull something off the shelf because it worked for their friend or they read something online, but really they're just sort of stabbing in the dark. And if you can actually sit down and get the full picture and, you know, really get a sense of this person, I often get to the end of a consult and I just kind of know what herbs it is that I want this person to have, or what the advice is that I need to give them. And yes, there is a skill in that, and it comes with experience.
Yeah, there's big problems with Dr. Google, I have to admit, and invariably there's, you know, we're inundated with data online. So just on that, I want to just highlight that we are coming to the end of the year. where people start to contemplate pending change and for the year ahead. So I like to say now is the only time to make those changes. And so for more information, you can contact Ange on angepalmer.com. That's angepalmer.com. And thanks so much for coming along, Ange. It's been great. I could talk to you for hours. So then I've been listening to Evolving Health Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock and replay Sunday afternoon at 1:40 only on Fresh FM. Thanks, Ange.
Kia ora, Sam. Thanks for having me.